Welcome to today's broadcast, probably one of the most unusual types of Bible studies you're ever going to have. It's going to be the excavation of the untold story of redemption. What did Jesus do on the 3 days in which he was dead? Remember, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." But then the Bible says something interesting. It says that he that ascended first descended into the lower parts of the earth. What did Jesus do in the lower parts of the earth? And why was it that when Peter and John went into the tomb, they saw linen clothes and believed? What did they see? That was what we were talking about. Living in Victory, the Untold Story of Redemption, by the way. You can get it at lancewalnut.com/victory. It's about 3 hours of the most extraordinary journey you're ever going to take through the layers of three parts of heaven, into the two compartments of hell, and into the redemption of Jesus and what he's done for us in a way that you probably never heard before. And it's available for your gift of any amount. We made it so that whatever you can do, I want to get this teaching to you. Your gift of any amount, you get the full series. I think it's three hours. A decade for each hour, about 30 years worth of research you're going to get in 3 hours. But it's powerful and life transformative. I find myself strangely edified when I'm doing these Bible studies. I mean, you know, it strengthens you to have the Word of God and the inside of you. So let's talk about where we were last episode. We talked about the unusual story of redemption. A missed part of it, major missed part, is when Jesus was taken down off of the cross. It was going to be Nicodemus and Joseph who were going to take his body down, and then they were going to embalm him, as the Egyptians had taught the Jews in their 300 years or 400 years of living there, to wrap the body like a mummy in spices and linen strips wrapped in gauze and aloe, wrapped around from the feet all the way to the head, in order to mummify the body so that the decomposition of the body didn't have a stench to it. And this is all there. Carl, where is that verse? Got Carl with me helping me. My son's over here. Carl, where is that verse on the 120 pounds worth of spices that was that they had embalmed Jesus with? I think it's John. I believe it was the Gospel of John. Let's grab your Bible. You want to have your Bible with you. We're going on a deep dive. You're going to mark your Bible up like you never had before, like a treasure map. I think it's the 19th chapter somewhere. And it's going
John 1939.
Okay. John 1939, Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. There it is. Imagine 100 pounds of spices. They took the body of Jesus, bound it in strips of linen. There it is, strips. So you see, when Jesus' clothing was lying there in the tomb, it wasn't that his, you know, pants and a shirt. It wasn't just his garments seamlessly woven from top to bottom, because they gambled for his robe. So what was it? What did they see? They saw linen strips wrapped around his body with 100 pounds of spices wrapped in among them that would be wet until it solidified, and then it formed the mummy. The only problem was the body wasn't in the mummified cast. It's one thing to slip out of a tomb. It's another thing to slip out of the mummy's cast. So that's why it says in chapter 20 that when Simon Peter and John went in, they saw the linen clothes lying there and believed. They were confused, but they believed something had happened that was miraculous. All right, now, as Jesus comes out of the tomb, Mary runs into him. And she says, Rabboni, and he says to her, "Stop clinging to me, Mary. I haven't yet ascended." So Jesus hadn't yet ascended. Well, then we found something out. The Bible says very clearly, and it says it in Ephesians, that I believe it's chapter 4, that he that ascended first descended into the lower parts of the earth. Well, now this is kind of confusing to me. How did he go down and not up when, what was it that he said, and where is that verse where Jesus says to the other man on the cross, "This day you will be with me in paradise"? I believe that's in Luke
23:43.
Luke 23:43. Jesus turns to the man on the cross and says, and the man says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus says, truly I say unto you, today. Luke 23:43. Make sure I got it right. You guys check me out on this. You're going to see the Bible, I tell you, like you've never seen it before. 23:43. And Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. And I'll tell you why I'm confused. Jesus first descended before he ascended. He tells Mary on the third day, don't cling to me. I haven't yet ascended. What was he doing? He had descended. How did he descend to paradise? I thought paradise is up there, not down there. Well, now we come to an interesting conundrum. Let's talk about, remember, we're going to go one step further here, and I think it's in, and we talked about Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, in verse 24, the Bible says, Peter's preaching, he says, hey, it wasn't possible for death to hold Jesus. Death couldn't keep him because he was a flawless, sinless man. Death had no power over him. It didn't have a claim on him. But then it goes on to say something else. Let's go there to Acts 2:24. I want you to see this with me. Discover it with me. Acts 2:24. In Acts 2:24, it says right here, it says, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, verse 27, you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to decay or to see corruption. In other words, the body of the Messiah will not decay, and you're not going to leave him in Hades. Now we have a revelation. Paradise is located in Hades. I know it's confusing. Because when you say Hades, you think of hell. When you think of hell or Hades, you think of the devil and you think of fire and you think of pits. But this is the mystery. Hades evidently has a compartment called paradise. And the Old Testament saints, not yet having been redeemed, not yet having been paid for, did not ascend into the heavenly places, but they were preserved or kept in a place called paradise. And in this place called paradise, and the only explanation we have for how Hades could have compartments is in the teaching of Jesus. And Carl, that would be in the reference to Abraham's bosom. And where will we find that?
Abraham's bosom.
I believe that'll also be in Luke. And so you get your Bible, you go to Luke.
Luke 16,
okay,
verses 19 to 26.
All right, why don't you, you got it there? Luke chapter 16, Jesus is teaching a parable, and now we're going to find out. He that first descended, today you'll be with me in paradise. Paradise evidently is down there, mystery of mysteries. It's in Hades where you're not going to leave my soul there. You're not going to let my body to see corruption either. And so what's the parable here? Read it from verse 19 to 26.
The rich man and Lazarus. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was late at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a full gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us.
All right, read verse 26 again. So catch the two compartments in Hades.
And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us.
Ah, so this day you will be with me in paradise. And so Jesus descends with that one thief. And they're in paradise. And in paradise, Jesus is in the compartment where Abraham was comforted. And there is a gulf and another compartment, which would correspond to the other part of Hades, which is frequently referred to as hell. All right, we're getting a mystery put together here. So when Jesus descended into paradise, he went down there. Now, he not only went down into the compartment that is paradise, but he also went further down, because the Bible makes this interesting statement. I want you to go read it, because every word in the scripture is pregnant with significance. So go to Ephesians chapter 4. Look at this again. And it says, verse 9, now this, he ascended. What does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? Now you know Hades has compartments. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. He filled all things. He went up to the very height and seated at the right hand of the Father in third heaven, but he went down to Hades, and he went even lower yet. Now we come to another mystery verse, and it's in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 19. We find out that Jesus descended into Hades, proclaimed he had come and redeemed the Old Testament saints. And then the Bible says in chapter 3, verse 19. We'll start with verse 18. You got it? Do you have it over there?
I have the Greek. I can pull it up, though.
1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18.
Christ's suffering and ours. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit.
Verse
19. Whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient. When once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water.
Now, this is a most interesting verse here, because it says that he preached to the spirits in prison who were disobedient in the days of Noah. He went and spoke to one classification of spirit beings who were disobedient during the days of Noah. So we have to ask, what class of spiritual beings were disobedient in the days of Noah that would require Jesus to go down? Now, he that ascended to the height went down to the lowest part of hell. And he preached to the spirits that are in prison. And this is a great mystery verse, but we actually find it in Jude. Jude is only one chapter, so it's especially mysterious here. But Carl, if you've got Jude there, would you read in that wonderful radio voice that you've got, would you read to us verse 6 and tell us what it says?
Sure. Jude 1, 6. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day.
Ah, so now we see the spirits that were in prison in chapter 3, verse 19 of 1 Peter are the angels who did not keep their proper domain. That word for proper domain is curious. It refers to staying in the habitation that they were required to. And now we come to a mystery. What took place during the days of Noah that would cause this group of spirits to have such a singular judgment that they would be put in the lowest compartment of hell and reserved under darkness in chains for the great day. And the mystery is found in verse 7. Because their sin is compared to another sin, as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and went after strange flesh, they're set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. What was the sin of sexual immorality that could be possibly committed by angels who didn't stay in their proper domain? Evidently, they left their spiritual domain. And you remember, we talk about these angels appear as men sitting at the head and at the foot of Jesus' grave, angels appearing as men. We'll tell the disciples at the ascension, why do you look up? The same Jesus who's going up is going to come in like manner. Angels appearing as men, evidently. These angels left their angelic domain to appear as men, and in the form of man. Let's see what happened in Genesis chapter 6. Got to go all the way back there to the days of Noah. That's when, isn't it interesting? The Bible gives us so many little clues. These aren't major themes because the average person just needs see spot run, how to get to heaven, how to get forgiven. But yet God has given us so much that is rich if we'll go in there and read it. It says here, now it came to pass in verse 1, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And that's when the Spirit of God said, just kind of almost exasperated, I'm not going to strive with man forever. He is indeed flesh. His days shall be 120. Going to shrink him down from 1,000 to, if he has eternal indestructible existence before the fall, then 1,000 years. Now it says 120. And then look at this. These were giants on the earth in those days and afterward when the sons of God came into the daughters of men and they bore children to them. And these were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Oh my gosh. This goes right to verse 9. Noah, these were the angels that committed sexual immorality by entering into the human realm, going in and having sex with the daughters of men, and there were giants on the earth. Evidently, the giants on the earth have to do with the pre-flood inhabitants. Remember what we taught you earlier out of that newsletter I sent out to my people, that Jesus was ordained before the casting down of the former inhabitants, katabole, that he was foreordained before the foundation of the world. In other words, before Lucifer was cast down, before we have the casting down of these angels into the what's considered the darkest part of prison, or was referred to in the Greek as Tartarus, the dragon's dungeon, or the ultimate dungeon, the darkest and deepest part of hell in everlasting chains. What sin did they commit? They committed the sin of leaving their domain, leaving the angelic realm, and going down to the earth realm. And God gave them a signature judgment. And why would he do that? In order to warn the other angels, hey, you and I are in warfare, and there's even rules to the engagement. You'll not tempt man above what he's able, and you will not enter into the realm of men and become one of them. The only one who would do that legally would be the Messiah. He would become one of them so that he could suffer death like a man. Fascinating stuff here. So Genesis chapter 6 says that the sons of God became the angels who cohabited with women and then had giants. They produced offspring that were giants. And this is where you get all of the Greek history of Hercules and the various Greek gods, Apollos, that were among men. But the stories actually were coming from the antiquity of old, the stories of these spirits. So Jesus went down, and what did he do, according to Peter? He preached to them. Well, he didn't preach, you got to give your life to me to get saved. He preached, and the word for preach there is a different word than preaching in terms of persuasion. It's the word for proclamation. What he was doing was he's saying, I came, I've done it, and now it's sealed. He was proclaiming to them. It's kind of an interesting shall we say, a kind of a propriety in the spirit realm that God will decree even to those fallen angels, I have come and I've accomplished my assignment. The Messiah has come. And then he goes up back to paradise. And when he comes up to paradise, he takes this company of the redeemed of all the ages of the Old Testament and brings them with him up to third heaven, because now he is going to empty out paradise and bring them all with him. Now, this explains a very unusual mystery that is in the Bible. And it refers to a chapter which I always found perplexing, which is when the graves were opened in, I think it's Matthew. We'll go to Matthew. This is a very strange verse, another one of those wild verses. It says here in chapter 27, verse 52, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, and coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. In other words, when Jesus did the jailbreak and brought out this company of that was in paradise, and he ascends up into heaven, as he's taking them up, many of them were assigned that had been alive and died during the time of Jesus' life. They went into the city and appeared to others, so that the story of many bodies being resurrected suddenly was out on the street. So it was quite a wild time. It says it right there, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep and coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the city and appeared to many. Wild. Why did that happen? Because Jesus, in his ascending, had taken this great company with him. Now, is there any other verse in the Bible that talk about this great ascension of Jesus up into the heavens? I believe you're going to see it and go to chapter 24. This is the psalm many people say of in 2024 had such significance. As Jesus is ascending up into heaven, there's this picture of something taking place. Verse 7 says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come to you. And from the gates shouts back from the angelic realm, who is the King of glory? And he shouts back, the Lord strong and mighty in battle. The Lord strong and mighty, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. The hosts was the company that he was bringing with him through the gates of the city. Now, when the Bible says lift up your heads, you have to imagine how this works. The gates are like this, right? So when the gates are like this, they're like that. And when it says lift up your heads, the gates would go up like that, and the top of the gates here would go up in the air like that. And so who is the King of glory? The gates would go up, and the it's called the head of the gates, would be the crown at the top of the gates, would go up, and the people would come into the city. So we'll also see there's a psalm that describes the company that is with Jesus when he ascends. For he brings a great host with him. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4. You guys catching this? He is ascending. He picks up his body. He is bringing a great company with him. And as he's ascending with that great company, and let's see what it says here in chapter 4. It speaks of verse 7, to each one of us grace has been given according to the measure of his gift. When he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. He took something captive. In our next broadcast, I'm going to describe to you what he took captive. Because what you'll find is that Satan was trying to resist his ascension. And Jesus takes them captive and goes up not only with the company of heaven that he redeemed, but with on display the powers that were rebelling against him, openly exposed to the angelic realm as being defeated by him. This is all in Living in Victory, the untold story of redemption. 3 hours of wild teaching. We've already have the story of the grave, the bodies coming out of the tomb, the 100 pounds of spices that were wrapped around the mummified body of the Messiah, the linen strips, the fact that he went to paradise in the different compartments of Hades. According to the prophecy, his body will not decompose. But then he goes down to a lower department, which is Tartarus, which is the dragon's dungeon or the dungeon of the darkest parts of hell, where he proclaims to the angels that are in captivity a proclamation that he has come. So he that is about to go to the very height went to the lowest depth. No other human being has ever done the journey that Jesus did. And you can get that for your gift of any amount. I want you to be able to get this teaching. It'll build your faith. It'll strengthen your soul. It'll build your spirit. You want to go to lancewalnut.com/victory, get the Living in Victory, the Untold Story of Redemption. Get the 3 hours of the audio teaching for your gift of any amount. It's on a USB. And I hope you guys are all able to work with USBs. Call 1-800-910-6349. Or you can just go directly to lancewalnut.com/victory. And you're going to be able to get the teaching there. The scriptures say that had Satan known what the plan was, they never would have crucified the Lord of glory. And in the last minute that I've got here, I want to be able to say the interesting thing about a resurrection body most people miss is Luke 24:39. In Luke 24:39, Jesus, when he's appearing to the disciples before his ascension, they're kind of still traumatized by his death. He speaks peace to them. He goes in. You ever wonder about why he bites a piece of honeycomb and a piece of fish and then say, "Do you have anything to eat?" And he takes a bite? Because when he left and vanished out of their sight, they could all say that was a phantom, that was a ghost, that was a mirage, that was like a hallucination, except the piece of the honeycomb had his bite mark. The food that he ate was still there, and the evidence was there that he had been there. Now, this Luke 24:39 says something interesting about a resurrection body. He appears specifically to Thomas, and he says to him, "Why are there troubles? Why is your soul troubled? Why are doubts arising in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I. Handle me and see. For a spirit, a ghost, a phantom, does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." And then he says, "Have you any food?" They gave him a piece of fish and a honeycomb. He took it and ate it in their presence. So he was there to show them. He's physically there. And he could eat physical fish and a honeycomb. But what does it tell you? It tells you that the resurrection body doesn't have blood. Flesh and blood doesn't inherit the kingdom of heaven. There is no blood in heaven. Flesh and blood doesn't inherit heaven. And yet Jesus says, "My body." The resurrection body is going to be made of a kind of like, let's use the word quantum. Because when we understand quantum physics, is it a wave or is it a particle? Well, in the quantum realm, it could be either one. You're stepping to the realm of that very lip of going into the realm of God's created order. The resurrection body can physically appear and move at the speed of thought and disappear. All right, you want to get Living in Victory? Go to lancewalnut.com/victory, and I look forward to seeing you again on our next broadcast. God bless.
Did you enjoy this latest episode? Please remember to share it with your friends, because the more knowledge you have, the better equipped you are to navigate the world.